things and talking to the Lord about some things this afternoon, and I want us to fulfill our ministry. And I'm talking about the church. I want the church to fulfill the ministry for which God ordained it. And the church is not a building, the church is people. And this is an outreach center, which means that we are responsible for reaching out to people with the good news of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. We're to reach out with the word, you understand. We're to reach out in compassion, with ministry gifts, however, but we're to be effective for the kingdom of God. I want to talk to you again this evening about the foundation. This is a thing that the Lord's really laid on my heart, and because there's such an attack right now against the fundamental beliefs of the evangelical believer, and which is just a direct attack against the Word of God, trying to portray those who believe the Word as uneducated and illiterate. But that may not be bad. I mean, that's how they viewed Peter and John. Ignorant, unlearned, but they took notice that they've been with Jesus. That's what I want, that they take notice that we've been with Jesus. We've talked about various things concerning the foundation, how Satan has to get us off of the foundation of the Word of God in order to carry out the plans that he has for humanity, which is destruction. He still thinks he can overthrow God, even though his destiny is already announced. And so he's working as hard as he can to try to get all representatives of God off of the foundation of the Word, off of Jesus Christ. And ultimately, he's going to try to overthrow God, but he'll be unsuccessful, you understand. And we've realized how important the Bible is to our beliefs. And if I don't believe the Bible, I'm in trouble. We all believe something. And then we have to look at what we believe and determine if what we believe is supported by a sure foundation. Storms come. You understand? It hasn't been so long ago, maybe a year ago. I don't remember when the Lord said the storm's coming. Well, you can take that one to the bank, okay? And it's already hit in a lot of areas, okay? Are we stable enough to still be standing when the storm passes over, passes by? We'll still be standing. If we're established on the Word of God, yes, we will be. So we have to look at our beliefs. Our beliefs on salvation. Is my belief accurate? Do I believe it's just a confession? Or is it more than just a confession? Is there something inside that has to take place first? See, the Bible is telling us that it's inside. You must be born again. And unless you're born again, you do not have the nature of God living on the inside of you. And once you're born again, God's nature comes inside a person, and God takes up residence in us. There is an assurance to where we have no problem calling God our Father, because we know that's a fact then we acknowledge that fact with our mouth. You know, confession is just acknowledging a fact that's already occurred. I have been born again, therefore I am saved forever. Amen? Then, there was so much more I could have said this morning concerning the Holy Spirit as a fundamental belief. And I am believing more and more in the importance of the Holy Spirit being active in an individual's life. And when I'm saying active, I'm talking about praying in the Spirit daily. And if you don't understand what I mean, yes, I am one of those who speaks in tongues. Yes, I'm talking about praying in a language that you don't know. It's unacquired. But the Spirit of God giving you the utterance and you praying. According to Romans, the 8th chapter, I believe it's around verse 26, it says that when we do not know how to pray as we should, the Holy Spirit assists us in praying. Now, this is even different. He says, with groanings that cannot be uttered. And if you've never experienced that, you need to. Because I don't even know how to describe it other than just to give you the verse. Because it's not something that you can describe. It's not that it's an articulate language, but it is almost a hurting. Such a yearning to where the Spirit of God is groaning through you, interceding for some person, some situation, some circumstance. So the Holy Spirit needs to be extremely active in our life because we are already in perilous times. People are talking about them coming. Look around you. It's here. And so we need to yield ourselves to where the Spirit of God has a free reign on the inside of us, to where He can pray through us or He can assist us in prayer. Jude verse 20 says, we're to build ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So we need to, in this day and time especially, we need to stay built up because we have a very formidable opponent out there called the devil. He keeps himself built up with evil. We need to keep ourselves built up with God. You understand? And we can do that by being diligent to yield to the Spirit and communicating with God all during the day. I'm not talking about just having a prayer time. That's fine. But don't let that end your communication with God. Okay? And I'm going to talk to you this evening about prayer, because this is one of the fundamental things concerning foundation. I believe this is a key ingredient in maintaining a good solid foundation. But I don't see how we can be effective in prayer without the Holy Spirit. So I put great emphasis on being baptized in the Holy Spirit, being full of the Holy Spirit, to where our lives are led or guided by the Holy Spirit, to where God is active in us and through us. So you understand where I come from on the Holy Spirit, okay? We need Him operative in our lives at all times. We need the Holy Spirit just as much as we need the Word of God, because He is the Spirit of truth. This is the Word of truth. We need both the Word and the Spirit of truth working together to keep us out of deception. And the deception is strong these days. Now let's talk about prayer. It's critical to the life of a believer, yet I think prayer is often minimized. People talk about a devotion. And I'm not here, you know, trying to be critical. That's not my objective. But generally when I think of devotional, I think of a short period of time, and not necessarily just a all out commitment to God. It may be or it may not be. But there's time we need to set time apart to where it's just us and God. You understand? Just you and the Lord. This is intimate time. It's not corporate. There's a time for corporate prayer. But we need to have an individual prayer life on a daily basis to where we set aside time to talk to God and to listen to God. And prayer is both. It's not all talking. And we have to understand that. It's a means of communicating with God. Now think about this. God is to the believer, the born again believer, God is our Father. You see that? Because we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we become one with Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. He's the firstborn among many brethren. So when we accept Jesus, then we are born into the family of God. That makes God our Father. So prayer is an opportunity to talk to your Father. It's an opportunity to listen to the Father. Do you see that? And I know Father is God. And I'm not minimizing that, but we need to get beyond praying to God and understand that this is personal. This is a son or a daughter talking to their father, to where it's not a frightful thing. It's a respectful thing, you understand. And then to where you listen to the counsel of the Father. And Father has wise counsel. But fathers also like for their children to communicate with them. I like for my children to talk to me. I like for my children to listen to me as well. I like to know what they need. How can I help them? If I don't know their need, I'm talking about, I'm natural, you understand. But there's a protocol that must be followed. God knows, but there's a protocol. We are to ask. You understand? Just because you have a need doesn't mean the Father meets it. You ask. We go to Him with petition. But that shouldn't be the only reason we go to the Father. Wouldn't you like for your child just to talk to you? Without always, gimme, 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 gimme. And most of the prayer that God hears is, gimme, gimme, I need, I want, I want. How about just talking to Him? Father, I am so glad to be in your family. I thank you for guiding my path to where I could hear about Jesus Christ and be saved. I thank you for salvation. I thank you for introducing me to the Holy Spirit. I thank you that you've chosen to come live in me. I like to think I chose you, but your word tells it like it is. You chose me. Thank you. What a privilege, what an honor that God selected you. That's more profound than we realize. That's how much God loves you. He's chosen you. And He likes to communicate with you. He likes for you to honor Him and respect Him. But in turn, He honors and respects us. It's reciprocated. You understand? So, our prayer time should be spent talking to God and listening to God. Many years ago, probably 35 years ago at least, I guess, the Lord spoke to me and He said, I want you, I had this thing about praying nonstop for an hour. Religious. You understand? And just a discipline. You watch the clock to make sure that you don't check up a minute short. Now, do you think that pleases God? You've got Him on the clock. I'm going to give you 1 hour. And then you get up and the rest of the day, you go about your business. And the Lord said this to me. He said, I want you to start giving as much time to listening as you do to talking. I want to talk to you. How many of you know for someone to talk to you, you need to shut up? Right? Well, for God to communicate with us, we need to get quiet. Be still. And listen to the Lord. So we talk to Him. He talks to us. Communication is dialogue, isn't it? That means two ways. So we listen. Don't try to conjure up something. Just listen. Get still. Get quiet. Just give them respect. Sometimes when a person walks in the room, you just get quiet. You're just respectful. So you just get into the presence of God and respect God. And genuine prayer is communication. Now, in communication, you can make petition. But that's not the only prayer. But it seems that that's the prayer people are more familiar with. But you can consecrate yourself to God. There is thanksgiving to where you can go before God and just thank Him. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. It's all right to praise God. Not that God's on an ego trip, but it just demonstrates that you recognize that you are what you are by the grace of God. That God has done what He's done just out of generosity, just out of His love and compassion and concern. And so you just praise Him for it. And it's good to go before the Lord with thanksgiving and praise. And it's all right to tell Him you love Him. You know, He likes to hear that. We like to hear Him tell us He loves us, don't we? Well, why wouldn't He want me to say, I love you? And then He's not against us petitioning. There are legitimate petitions. There's intercession. There's a time you petition for yourself, but there's a time you petition for other people as well. Now, there's guidelines when we're making petition. In James, the 5th chapter, in verse 16, he tells us that the effective, fervent prayer of a person in right standing with God avails much. It's a prayer of force. It's a prayer that accomplishes something. So they have to determine what is an effective, fervent prayer. It's a prayer prayed according to the will of God. In other words, in order for it to be effective, it has to be out of the Scriptures. Then it's a prayer out of the Spirit in agreement with the Word of God. 1 John chapter 5 and verses 14 and 15, he starts out by saying that this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will or according to His Word. You understand, the Word of God, the will of God are synonymous. He hears us. So if I pray anything according to the Word of God, God hears me. So if someone says, I don't think God's hearing me, my first response is, are you praying according to the Word? If you're praying according to the Word, I can guarantee God hears you. Then he says that we know, not think, not hope, but that we know that if he hears us, he grants the petitions that we ask. So if I pray according to the will, he hears me. If he hears me, I have the petition. Now that's an effective, fervent prayer. You're praying out of the Spirit. You're praying to the Father. Prayers of petition are prayed to the Father. It's the Father that grants the petition. And our access to the Father is Jesus. As a matter of fact, in John, the 16th chapter, verses 23 and 24, Jesus said, In that day, you will ask me nothing. Verily, verily, or surely, or truly, I say to you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Ask who? The Father. How do you get to the Father? In the name of Jesus. So, Jesus is sort of the power of attorney, if you will. We go using His name. That gives us access to the Father. So, if we ask in His name, in verse 24 he says, up now, hitherto, have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive. That your joy may be full. So he's telling us how to pray. Talking about a prayer of petition. An effective prayer of petition is prayed in the name of Jesus. And it's prayed to the Father. You remember, even under the Old Covenant, when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, as John taught his disciples how to pray. And Jesus, my paraphrase, Jesus is saying, pray in this manner. Our Father. Not our God. Not Almighty God. Our Father. You petition the Father. Our Father. Who is in heaven. That is the Father. You understand? Our Heavenly Father. So that's how we're to pray. Our Heavenly Father. Our Father who is in heaven. Hallowed is your name. We are very respectful to that name. That's a sacred name. That's not a byword. That's a respectful name. You rule. Your kingdom come. Father, rule me. We want Him to rule the world. He wants to rule in our hearts. Rule me. Your kingdom come, your will be done. In me. See, that's where it starts. And so we go to the Father in a submissive attitude. You understand? To where we're submitting ourselves to the Lord. We make our petitions. Then we're available to do whatever He wants us to do. It's not a one-sided thing. Lord, this is my petition. This is my will. But I want Your will done. And I want my will conformed to Your will. Now we're talking about effective praying. To where our will is in agreement with God's will. Have you ever heard the scripture quoted, "Delight yourself also in the Lord your God, and He'll give you the desires of your heart"? But that's usually not thought through. If I delight myself in the Lord, I will want what the Lord wants, not what the flesh wants. So it won't be to consume all my flesh. Of course He'll give me the desires of my heart because I desire what He desires. If we desire what God desires, He will grant that to us. That's according to His will. You see that? That's how we're to make our petition. That's where we can be confident in our praying. That it's not wishing and hoping. We have a foundation. Pray according to the Word of God, which is praying according to the will of God. So the prayers get answered. So an effective prayer of great force is a prayer that agrees with the Word of God. So that's why it's so important that we know the Word of God. If I don't know the Word of God, I can't pray the Word of God. If I don't know the Word of God, I'll probably be praying not in agreement with the Word. So it's important that we know the Word. And it's important that we follow God's protocol to the Father in the name of Jesus. My name has no clout with God. I can't go in my name. But I don't have to. I have a name. The name of Jesus. Father, I come to You in the name of Jesus. Just get that embedded in your thinking. That's our access. That's like the key that gets you in your house. That's your access. The name of Jesus. Now, based on this information, you can understand why there is so much opposition to Christianity. People do not want you to use the name of Jesus. Because it's powerful. You can pray in the name of anybody else you want to. It's not a threat. But the name of Jesus, when used properly in prayer, is a threat to the devil. You understand? Because he knows it has authority. And according to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10, the name of Jesus has authority in heaven and earth and underneath. Every knee must bow in heaven, in earth, under the earth. You understand? So that name is a threat. Now you can see why there's such opposition against praying in the name of Jesus. Because you have to pray in the name in order for the petition to be granted. So if I can stop you from using the name, I can stop the petition from being granted. They don't care if you pray to God. Big deal. But don't use the name of Jesus. You remember in Acts when Peter and John were brought before the council. They didn't tell them to stop preaching and teaching. They told them to stop preaching and teaching in that name. Don't use that name. Now, prior to that, when Peter and John healed the man at the Gate Beautiful, and the crowds came running, they said, "Why are you looking at us as though we did some great thing?" It was faith in the name. It's the name that did that. The name of Jesus healed this man. So now the name has as much authority as the person has. They thought they'd get the person out of the way, they'd be all right. But now the person's left the name, given us the privilege of the name. Now things are as Jesus was. So the opposition is against the name just as it was against the person. Don't pray in the name. Then I can stop your prayer from being answered. Now does it make sense? That's why we encourage you and exhort you to pray in the name of Jesus. That's your legal access to Father God. In His name. The name of Jesus. Prayer, I believe, plays a vital role in maintaining the foundation. You give time to the Lord, and a lot of times the Lord will reveal things to you. There's some correction that comes in prayer. You may be just a little bit in the dark in scriptures. You may need revelation in area, and the Lord can speak to your heart, and the Lord will speak to your heart. But you can't force that. You allow that. You allow Him the time to speak. And if He chooses, that's His option. If He doesn't, then you've shown Him respect, and you may get up, walk out, and He'll speak to you. You understand? It's not that you just have to be on your knees to hear God speak. But I think you set precedence. You show the sincerity. You demonstrate diligence. That you're not just doing something haphazardly. Lord, I really do want to hear You. I really am interested in doing Your will. And I thank You that I have direct communication with You through Jesus. The only mediator between God and man. You don't need me to mediate for you. You have access to the Father in the name of Jesus. You don't need any preacher or any minister of any kind to mediate for you. You have direct access to God in the name of Jesus. And I want to talk to you about the name. The name of Jesus is the only religious name that's perceived as a threat to an ungodly society. Why? It's the only name with authority. You understand? I'm talking about spiritual authority. Jesus, the name of Jesus, when spoken by a believer, has authority in the spirit realm. As a matter of fact, it carries the same authority as the person, Jesus. The body of Christ has the authority of Jesus. We need to exercise the authority in the same manner that Jesus did. According to Romans chapter 4 and verse 12, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. Excuse me. So if I can stop you from using the name, I can stop salvation. Satan knows that. So that's why there is such opposition against the name of Jesus. Have you ever read Mark chapter 16? In verses 17 and 18, it says that in the name of Jesus, devils are cast out. In the name of Jesus, people speak in new languages. In the name of Jesus, poison and snakes can't harm you. And in the name of Jesus, the sick can be healed. Tell me any other name that you can use and get that accomplished. You can't. There's not another name that's vested with that authority. So that name is a threat to the devil. So consequently, he does everything in his power through people to stop that name from being used. You understand, Satan works through people. So if he can get the name of Jesus used, then we start taking territory. The gates of hell can't prevail, you understand. We can set captives free. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. We have the authority to do that. And how the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, just as it was on Jesus, it's on His body. To preach the gospel to the poor. To preach deliverance. We're sent to heal the broken heart, preach deliverance to the captives, recover His sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. We have that authority. No wonder that name is so opposed. No wonder that name is such a threat. Now the devil's not dealing with one person. Now he's dealing with people all over the world that use the name of Jesus. Let the name stop. He's doing too much damage. I say let's get the name forward. Let's use the name more than ever before the way it's designed to be used, with the authority of God. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, Jesus is the foundation of our life. Paul said, as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation. Where have you built on it? He said, no other foundation can be laid than that which is laid, which is Jesus. Jesus. Do you know Jesus and the Word are the same? We talk about the Word being the foundation, Jesus being the foundation. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Obviously, he's referring to Jesus. John's referring to Jesus. So, Jesus is the Word of God. In the Revelation, on His thigh, the name is written, the Word of God. So, it's our foundation. Just as the Word is our foundation. John 14:6, we're talking about the name of Jesus. It says, Jesus Himself said, I am the way. So the Father, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. So if I can take Jesus away from you, then I've taken the way to the Father, to where you have no access to it. Take truth away so I can deceive you into believing a lie. I've taken the eternal life away from you. It's in Jesus. It's in Jesus. That's your foundation. The way, the truth, the life. We have that name established on the inside of the importance of that name. It's not just getting the name. It's not just confessing the name. It's understanding the importance of the name. How important the name of Jesus is. Imagine how many believers realize the importance of the name. And it's name that has the authority. Without the name, no authority. Without the name, there's no salvation. We're taking every believer's life away when we remove the name of Jesus. Don't allow that name to be moved out of your life. Keep it in the very center of your life. According to Acts 17:28, it says, in Him we live and move and have our being. I live in Jesus. I move in Jesus. My very existence comes from Jesus. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ, but nevertheless I live. Yet it's not me who's living, but Christ who's living in me. In Him I live and move and have my being. You understand? So this name is critical to our life. It's actually the crux of the believer's life. Don't ever push that name to the side. That's why it's come under severe attack. Because there's so much authority in that name. So if I can get the name away from you, I've taken all your authority away. If the name of Jesus can be removed from a believer's life, that the life of that believer will be destroyed. Your authority has been removed. Now you're susceptible to other authorities. If I don't have authority over the devil has authority over me. You understand? But Jesus said in Luke 10:19, behold, I give you, King James Version says, power, actually, the Greek word exousia, which is authority. Behold, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. He has given us authority over all the power of the enemy. He says we can tread on serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy. And nothing will harm us. But it's in the name. Our authority is in the name. Don't think you can take the devil head on. He has power. What he's lacking is authority. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. In other words, He's not just sending us out without authority, He's sending us out in His name. So then if He has all authority, Satan has no authority. So the only authority that Satan can operate under is authority that's yielded to him. So if I can get the name of Jesus out of your mouth, out of your heart, then I have authority over you. Satan knows that. So he's attacked the name of Jesus to take your authority away. Because he knows you can walk on him. He knows his power cannot override your authority. But your authority can override his power. So that's why there's such an attack. Now we can be wise or we can be foolish when it comes to the foundation. And we know from Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 24 through 27, where Jesus gives the parable of the two houses, the wise man, the foolish man, and the difference being their foundation. Okay? We choose which category we're under. And we choose that by choosing the wise man will dig deep and build on the rock. The rock is Jesus. He's our rock. Many times in the Scripture, he's referred to as the rock. So we dig deep. We build our lives on him. That's our foundation. The Word of God. Jesus. Now that's a wise man. It's a foolish person that builds on any other foundation. Storms are coming to everybody. The people that are attacking us are going to experience a storm. They will fall. They will be destroyed. But if we're on the foundation, we'll stand. You understand? One who follows the wills and ways of God is going to get into this Bible and study till that Bible gets into you. So that's the key. Getting into you. The whole objective of you getting into it is to where it becomes so much a part that it governs your life. So your life's governed by the Word of God. You read. You meditate. Day and night. Now what God told Joshua to do? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you keep it. You understand? This book shall not depart from your mouth. Meditate in it. Day and night. Think about it all the time. And then as you're thinking about it, observe how to put it into practice. Then you make your way prosperous by making right decisions. And really, that's the prosperity message. Get the Word of God in you, make right decisions, and you prosper. They won't be selfish decisions. They'll be godly decisions. One who's received revelation and personally experienced the Lord cannot be moved from this foundation as long as we maintain fellowship with the Lord. Fellowship is extremely important. There's a difference between relationship and fellowship. Relationship identifies you as a member of the family. Fellowship is where you're communing with the Father. You're not a legal name. But you know what the Father's thinking. The Father knows what you're thinking. Isn't it good to know what the Father thinks? God said to Judah through Jeremiah, I know the thoughts I think toward you. They didn't. Why? They didn't pay any attention to it. if we pay attention to God, we can know what God's thinking. He says He won't do anything without telling, first revealing it to His servants, the prophets. So God's not withholding, but He's not going to take the door down to get it to you. You have to put forth diligent effort. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, isn't He? So everyone choose between following the Word of God and following the words of men. Which will it be? God's Word? Or what they say? What religion says? What denomination says? What friends say? What parents says? What grandma says? What are we going to believe? The Word of God or the traditions of men? Which will we follow? Which will we submit to? The Word of God or the threats of men? Let's get established in the Word and in the name. And let's communicate with Father God and exercise the authority that He's given to us. Amen. I'm not through, but I will stop there. Okay.